We're holding on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom. Continuing with the dinim of tefillin, the Gemara says Amud of Shmuel by Bidri Amud Rav, Ba'amulor, or some say Amud of Acha by others say Amud of Acha Aricha Amud of Vona, Ba'amulor Amud of Benashi Amud Shmuel. So this would be one of those popular teachings that was taught by a bunch of different Amiroyans, their Talmidim. Tefillin me'emasai mevorech aleha. At what point do you make a bracha on the tefillin? So mishas hanachasam, from when you put them on. Now, it sounds like it means after you put them on, but the question is that we know that you're supposed to make a bracha, you're supposed to make brachas on mitzvahs before you do the mitzvah, not after them. So that's the sort of the Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? All mitzvahs you're supposed to make a bracha before you do them. The Gemara elsewhere explains that the word over means before, and poskim say it means not only before, it means right before. So you don't say the bracha after the mitzvah is done, but you also don't say it a long time before the mitzvah. You say it as close as possible to the mitzvah. The one exception that they bring is when it comes to a ger tovelin to complete his gerus, he can't say the bracha asher kedushanim mitzvos v'tzivanim before his tefillah. Therefore, of necessity, he says it afterwards. There are also different minhagim as far as when a woman tovels for nidya, whether there are different minhagim also. I think whether she says the bracha before or after, because better she should say it when she's tahor. I think they have as a compromise that she tovels, then says the bracha, and then tovels again or something like that. In any case, normally the bracha is supposed to be done before the mitzvah. So, Abaya and Rava, Dami Tavayos, Abaya and Rava both explain what these various early Amiroyim meant was Mishas Hanocha V'ad Shas Kshira, meaning between when you put them on the places where they belong, but you haven't yet tied them in place, so then tying them in place is the actual accomplishment of the mitzvah, and therefore that's the latest time to make a bracha, so you do it between them. So this way it's as close as possible to the mitzvah. You have the tefillin already on the biceps, but you haven't tightened them yet, then that's considered overlasiyosam. The fact that we say Mishas Kshira, the fact that we say until tying it over here, gets Tosfos into a long and interesting discussion about the question of whether the tefillin actually has to be retied every day. Would you literally have to undo the knot and redo the knot every day because we're saying over here, Mishas Kshira, Ad Shas Kshira, until the time you tie it? So Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Eliyahu that says that you would. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says you don't need to. An interesting point that's brought up in Tosfos in that connection is that brings from a Gemara in Cholin, which we'll get to in a couple of months, that's a shame, that says that there are three things that a person ought to learn. The proper way of writing Safos letters, the Shchita and Mila. And then Rabbi Yehuda adds there in the Gemara also some other things also a person should know, how to tie tefillin, how to say the Sheva Brachas, and how to tie tzitzis, whereas the other Chachamim say those are not as important because they're not every day. Once in a while, you get called on to say Sheva Brachas. Once in a while, you have to repair your tzitzis. So now, if the Rabbeinu Tam points out, if you really have to retie your tefillin every day, that would be equally as common as the other things. In any case, So Tosfos goes on and discusses that point, different explanations over there, but in any case, Tosfos ends up saying that no, you don't have to retie the knot of the tefillin every day. What we mean over here by Kshira is tightening it, putting it in its exact place. However, Tosfos then kind of makes a compromise. When it comes to the tefillin shoros, then we can follow it a bit of time and you don't have to retie it every day. In fact, there was actually something in this connection about this business of retying the tefillin every day, and it's brought in Seder Adoris that at one point Rabbeinu Tam had a machlokas about this with no less than Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe is explaining when it says a pshautam la'os ayadecha, but when it says a pshautam means you have to tie it, means you have to literally retie it every day. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says that no, you don't have to retie it every day. It's an odd thing to be saying that Rabbeinu Tam would argue with Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's how Seder Adoris tells the story. In any case, so the halacha is like that. You don't have to retie the tefillin shel rosh every day. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe we should follow Rabbeinu Eliyahu when it comes to the tefillin shel yad. Those should be retied every day. Lamaisa, we don't actually retie them every day, but what we do is, so you have the veltish knot of the tefillin. It's made in such a way, it's made as a large loop And every day you tighten it in place. You're not really retying it, but like every day you're tightening it around the arm and like sort of knotting it in place. The knot that the Alter Rebbe invented is that you actually have there's a different kind where also you have the strap moves in and out of it and is adjustable. And also in that sense, you're tying it every day. There's in fact within that was a difference of minhagim among Rabbanim of Siddin, whether you actually have to loosen the loop every day that the strap goes through the loop right next to the yud knot. You actually have to open it up every day, and then every day when you're putting on the tefillin, you should close it again, and that way you actually be mekayim making the knot. So that is a difference of minhag among Lubavitcher Chassidim within that itself. They asked the Rebbe about it. He said basically it's up to the local rov to decide. That's not something there's an official minhag Chabad about it. Okay, so that's the gist of it as far as this question of whether you have to actually tie the tefillin, whether the Gemara over here, Kshira, means to actually tie them or whether it just means to tighten. Okay. Speaking further about the bracha, the Gemara goes on, Amar of Chisda, sofben tefillah l'tefillah. If a person talks between putting on the shoyad and the shorosh, chozer mevoreth, then he makes another bracha. So the Gemara says soch ein moi soch lois. So you're implying only if he talked between them, but if he didn't, then he doesn't say another bracha. The question is, but Rav Chiya b'rei d'Rav Huna sent a message to the other chachamim in the name of Rav Yochanan that there are in fact two different brachas for the two different tefillin. Al tefillah shoyad omer baruch hashem k'dushanim v'tzvayisim v'tzvanu l'aniach tefillin. For the shoyad, you say the bracha that Hashem gave us the mitzvah to place tefillin. By the way, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that you have to be careful to say lahoniach with a comet, not lahaniach with a patach, because in a patach it would mean to set them aside. Lahoniach means to place them. The mitzvah is not to set aside the tefillin, the mitzvah is to place them. So lahoniach tefillin, b'al tefillin shorosh, omer baruch hasher k'dushanu mitzvah tefillin, al mitzvah tefillin. And then for the shorosh, you have a bracha al mitzvah tefillin. Why the difference? Rashi says because you're beginning to put it on with the shoyad. That, as Moses will explain soon, the shoyad always goes before the shorosh. So therefore, with the shoyad, you're starting to do the mitzvah of putting on the tefillin. Therefore, the appropriate bracha is that Hashem told us lechaniach tefillin to put on tefillin. Now, when you're putting on the shorosh, you're completing the mitzvah. Now, they are two separate mitzvahs. They're counted as two separate mitzvahs. We're going to learn later on that in fact each one is an independent mitzvah of its own, meaning in other words here, we're going to talk about soon that you're supposed to put on the shoyad before the shorosh, but if for whatever reason you only have one of them, or you can only put on one of them, then the fact is you do that alone, and you're on the count of that mitzvah. So they are two independent mitzvahs. Nonetheless, though, it's one pair, and therefore the idea is when you're putting on the shorosh, you're completing the totality of the mitzvah, and therefore the appropriate bracha is al mitzvah thesis. Now he's saying that you have these two brachas regardless. So it sounds like it doesn't matter whether you talk between them or not. Either way, you're making a separate bracha. So the Gemara answers Abaya and Rava. Da'ami tavayu. Abaya and Rava both explain what we mean is like this. It means if you didn't talk between them, then you make only one bracha, and it covers the both of them. And so, if you talk between them, then you make two brachas. So in other words, it sounds like, and this is how Rashi explains, is that you're only going to say the bracha al mitzvah sittis if you talked between the shoyad and the shorosh. We'll talk about in a second what the actual halacha is. And the Gemara continues. Tonim, we learn in a Braisa. Soch ben tefillah l'tefillah. If a person does talk between putting on one tefillah and then the other, avera hi biyodei, then it's considered he's done an avera. And he would in fact have to return because of it from the ranks of the army, meaning when the Jewish people are going to war, as it says in Parashas Shoftim, there has to be the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, the Kohen who was anointed for battle. Talks to them and tells them certain, and then the shoterim, the officers, whatever, you have different people that make different announcements over there. Among them is Miha Isha Yore Virachalevav, anybody who's fearful and faint hearted should leave the ranks and go home. So his cowardice doesn't affect other people. So now the Gemara explains in Sota that, according to one opinion anyway, that also includes when a person is afraid of Averis that he did. So now we're saying that even not so, so even talking between Shoyah and Shorosh is also considered such an Aveira to the extent where a person would be potter from battle because of it, because then he doesn't have a school, then he doesn't have such a school to rely on. There's an interesting idea brought in that connection that Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to shave it God is written partially in Vezoyis HaBracha, the Torah Zroya Ach Kodkoy. He will tear off the arm with the head, meaning in other words, Rashi explains that they had a unique way of killing their enemies where you would notice afterwards which ones had been killed by them, that the head and the arm would be chopped off in one blow. So there's a vote on it that says the reason is because Shevet God was particularly careful with this mitzvah of not talking between the Shoyad and the Shorosh, the arm and the head. Therefore, in token of that, Hashem gave them the ability to defeat their enemies that way by chopping off the arm and the head together. In any case, so what does all this mean? Rashi explains, basically at face value over here, what it means is that if the person puts on the shoyad and then the shorosh without interruption, then he says only the one bracha, laniach tefillin. If he talks between them, then Rashi explains would mean not just he talks between them, but he doesn't say that second bracha. In other words, it comes out from Rashi, if he were to talk between them and then say the bracha on mitzvah tefillin, it wouldn't be a problem. On the other hand, Rabbi Natan elsewhere, Rabbi Natan explains in Tosfos over here, and elsewhere, Tosfos discusses in more detail that no, what's the logic? The Chachamim are going to make a separate bracha for the Gemara going to make a separate bracha for the case where someone did something wrong and talked between the Shoyad and the Shorosh. On the face of it, the Gemara is saying just the talking alone is the problem, not just the lack of making a second bracha. So rather, Tosfos elsewhere explains in more detail, and here Tosfos says briefly that no, what the Gemara means is that when you put on the shoyad, you say laniach tefillin. Then when you put on the tefillin shorosh, if you're only putting on the shorosh, if you didn't interrupt between them, then you just say the bracha al mitzvah tefillin. If you did talk between them, then you would actually say both brachas. Then you would have to actually say the bracha laniach tefillin again, and then you would also say al mitzvah tefillin. So now we understand that the Braisa is saying if a person talked between them and therefore caused an unnecessary bracha to be said, because like this he would have only had to say the bracha on mitzvah tefillin for the shorosh, then therefore that's enough of an avera that now he has to leave the ranks of the army because of that. So those are the two major opinions on the subject. Because of that, there's a difference of minhagim. Sfardim then and Lubavitcher Chassidim follow, because based on the Alter Rebbe's Pesach, follow Rashi's understanding. So we would not say the bracha al mitzvah tefillin unless we talk between the shoyad and the shorosh. Otherwise, we just said bracha laniach tefillin, and it covers both of them. On the other hand, most Ashkenazim follow Rabbi Natan's understanding, which is that you say both brachas. So even if you haven't talked between them, you're going to say laniach tefillin before you put the shoyad, before you finish tightening the shoyad, and al mitzvah tefillin before you finish tightening the shorosh. If you talk between them, then they would have to say both of them. And the post can also talk about that, according to Minhag Ashkenaz, also after they say the bracha al mitzvah tefillin on the shorosh, then they say baruch shem kvod malchus eleinu v'od. The usual understanding of that is because since you have the suffix, maybe after all the halacha is like Rashi, that bracha was not necessary in the first place, then therefore you should be saying baruch shem like you would any other time that you make an unnecessary bracha. There are achronim who talk about maybe there's a different reason why you say baruch shem kvod malchus eleinu v'od. Because you're praising Hashem for the fact that you're giving Hashem extra praise for the fact that he gave us this mitzvah to do. The Aruch HaShulchan in fact says that it's not a matter of bracha levatola. It's that he says the bracha mitzvah. So he explains like this: why b'chalal, according to that minig Ashkenaz, according to Rabbi Natan, why would the Chachamim have said that if you talk between them, you have to have two separate brachas on the shorosh? Where do we find two separate brachas on one mitzvah? So he says, because the idea would be that laniach tefillin is a birkas hamitzvah, it's like every other bracha before you say mitzvah, but the Aruch HaShulchan learns that the bracha al mitzvah tefillin is called a birkas hashevach. It's a bracha of praise to Hashem. So therefore, according to that minhag, you always say it, but nevertheless, then we say baruch shem afterwards, because as an extra praise to Hashem, we praise Hashem that he gave us this mitzvah, and that Hashem has a special relationship with us. So then you also have within that as well, so then you also have the question that the post can discuss. So what about if a person, for example, a person's between Shoyad and Shorosh, and, for example, they're saying Kedusha or Kaddish or Bohu or what have you, should he interrupt in between and answer? So a number of the posts can say no, because then again, you're going to be causing an unnecessary bracha over here. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe Paskins, the Alter Rebbe who holds that generally you only say the one bracha, the Alter Rebbe writes in the Siddur that nevertheless you should. Because given that after all, you do have poskim after all who say that you should be saying al mitzvah tefillin all the time on the shorosh, so even though, fine, we don't follow that on a day-to-day basis, nonetheless, though, when there's kaddish or kedusha or what have you to be said, then we can rely on those poskim and interrupt and say an answer al minyan heshmei rabba or bohu or what have you, and then make the bracha on the shorosh, given that there are poskim who hold that you would always make that bracha anyway. So it's not really considered a bracha shein etzlicha, is how the Alter Rebbe explains it. The poskim also talk about that even when you're putting on tefillin without a bracha, for example, Rabbi Natan's tefillin, for example, you have those who put on tefillin on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, even those that Minhag Ashkenaz, general Minhag Ashkenaz, is to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, nevertheless, they don't say bracha on it. So that kind of thing, even then, you're not making a bracha, nevertheless, you still shouldn't interrupt between the Shoyad and the Shorosh if you can help it. If it's a matter of answering Kaddish or Kedusha or whatever, then the post can say, go ahead and do it, because then you're not causing an unnecessary bracha anyway. So that's the rundown of it in a nutshell, is the different opinions and the different minhagim on the subject. The Gemara continues, Tana, we learn a b'raisa, k'shu maniach, when a person is putting on tefillin, maniach shol yad v'achakach maniach shol rosh. First he puts on the shol yad, then he puts on the shol rosh. He's taking off the tefillin, choylet shorosh, v'achata choylet shoyad. First he takes off the shorosh, then the shoyad. So why is that? The Gemara says, "Bishleim k'ru maniach maniach shoyad v'achachach maniach shorosh." I understand why when it comes to putting them on shoyad first, shorosh next. Dichtid, because the pasuk says, "Kshautim la'oisar yadecha." The pasuk says you should tie them as a sign on your arm. V'hoder, and only then, v'hoyu v'teitofes v'neinecha. Then they should be for teitofes, as we talked about the other day, what the meaning of teitofes is, between your eyes, meaning on your forehead. So we understand that the Torah is listing it in that order: shoyad first, shorosh second. But where do we get that when he's taking them off, he should first take off the shorosh and then take off the shoyad? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rabba, Rav Huna Azbarali. So Rabba says, Rav Huna, explain to me the reason is, Omar Krav, Ahoyu Teitofos Bein Einecha. The Pasuk says that they should be Teitofos between your eyes and your forehead. So that means Kol Zman Shebein Einecha, as long as the tefillin is between your eyes and on your forehead, Yushayim, there should be both of them. So in other words, you should never have the shorosh on without the shoyad as well. Now, again, if a person only has the one, then he puts that on. That's not what we're talking about over here, but we're talking about when he has the both of them, then he should put, then as long as the shorosh is on his head, then he should have the shoyad on his arm as well. Tosfos discusses a couple of points within this. It also it means, for example, that for among other things, first of all, the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Yuma that when you're putting your tefillin into the bag or taking them out, make sure that you take the shoyad out before the shorosh, because if you were to take out the shorosh first, you would have to put it on first, but you can't. Ein ma'avir nala mitzvah. You're not allowed to bypass a mitzvah. And here we're saying the shoyad has to go first. So put them in your tefillin bag and take them out in the way that you always take out the shoyad first, and that way you won't have that issue. For the same reason, by the way, also the talus is supposed to go before the tefillin. So for the same reason, it says the talus should be further out than the tefillin. For the same reason, so you'll take the talus out first and you won't bypass it. There, it's a different thing. When it comes to the tefillin, the halacha is if you did accidentally take out the shorosh first, you still do set it aside and put on the shoyad first, because what the Gemara is saying over here that you have to have the shoyad first takes precedence. When it comes to talus and tefillin, you don't have that. And if a person were to take out his tefillin first, he would in fact have to put them on first. So better to put the talus first, and then you avoid the whole issue. Symbolism of it is that, you know, we have here in last week's parasha, we had the Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma, we do the mitzvahs, and then we understand them. So first, the hand, the arm, represents doing, The head represents thinking and understanding. So first we do, whenever we're going to be understanding the mitzvahs, there has to be first as a prerequisite that we're going to do them. And then comes, we're going to try to understand them. Therefore, the shoyad has to come first. And therefore, as long as there's a shoroshan, as long as we're going to be understanding the mitzvahs, it's not going to be good enough unless we're actually doing them in practice as well. One point in this, by the way, is in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that this is primarily we're talking about. So you put on the shoyad, and then you put on the shorosh. As we're saying, nonetheless, though, since you want to have the two mitzvahs as close together as possible, then therefore you really shouldn't be doing. Therefore, you shouldn't be doing a lot extra. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, for example, you just put on the tefillin on the biceps, and then after that you put on the shorosh, and then you complete it. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe brings from the Arizal that the windings on the arm are also considered part of the essential mitzvah of the shorosh. Of the shoyad, and therefore that's where we get the minhag, which as far as I know is more widespread as well, that you in fact do all the windings on the arm and then you put on the shorosh. Meanwhile, the windings on the hand and the finger and the rest of that, those taka you leave for after the shorosh, because those are not an essential part of the mitzvah of the shoyad, and therefore you should leave those for later. Next, the Gemara says, Tonan Abana, we learn in a braisa. Tefillin, me'emes time mevorach aleichem. From what point in the morning can you make a bracha on tefillin? Now you have like this. As we go through the sugya, we're going to see there's the question of whether laila zman tefillin or laila lav zman tefillin. Is nighttime considered a valid time to put on tefillin or not? But you want to mention that we're going to have our sugya over here is going to depend on that point. The Gemara also discusses it in some other places, notably in Eruvin, whether nighttime is considered a valid time to put on tefillin. So suppose, for example, a person is going to put on tefillin before alos ha-shachar, at what point will he make the bracha on them? So the Braisa says, Mishas ha-nechosan, from when it comes the time to put them on. In other words, even though he put them on early, Rashi brings from the Gemara in Brachos that when it comes to Krishna and when it comes to Tefillin, or at least the Gemara says that when it comes to Tefillin, the earliest time for Tefillin is Mishayakir, when you're able to see when you see somebody who you sort of know, you don't know intimately, but you sort of know him, and you see him 4 amas away in the dark, and you're in the semi-darkness, and you're able to recognize him. That's called Mishayakir, and that's the earliest time for putting on tefillin. And now we're saying, suppose a person put on tefillin before that time, then he wouldn't make the bracha until that point, until it's time to put it on. Ketzad, what is the Braisa says, what do we mean? Hayamashkim lotzis l'derach, suppose a person has to get up early and leave on a trip, or misyara shem yoivduloi, and he's afraid he might lose his tefillin. If he takes them along in his hand or in a bag, he might drop them. Manichan, then we'll allow him to put them on, even though it's too early to put them on usually, uchshiyagiyaz manan, and when the actual time comes, the earliest time to put them on, mishayakir, then mimashmish behen, then he should touch the tefillin, and then touching them is considered as though he put them on at that moment, omavorech aleihen, and then he'll be able to make the bracha on it. Choices points out a similar concept would apply as far as tzitzis. If a person puts on tzitzis or a talus before alos hashachar, before mishayakir, rather, same thing. He doesn't have to take it off and then rewrap himself in it. He can be mamashmish. He can handle the tzitzis and make the bracha then. Continues the Braisa, Va'an Mosai Manichan. Now, until what point in the day are you allowed to wear tefillin? Adshav Tishna Chama. So until Shia, until the sun sets. Now usually we have this Shia and this Tesek Echavim. Here, Tosfos explains earlier in the Masechta in a different context that Shia Sachama over here really means Tesek Echavim. We talked about then all about Rabbi Natam's Shia, where Rabbi Natam holds that Shia is considerably later than we usually make it. We usually understand Shia to be when the sun sets below the horizon. Rabbi Natam holds it's when the sun's light is completely gone from the horizon, which is almost an hour later. So then you have the whole concept of Rabbi Natan Zmanim is based on that idea. So here also Tosfos explains that in all Gemara as well, when it says Mishu Tishkan Chama, really means Tesek Kavodim. So you can keep them on until then. Rav Yaakov Omer Ad Shtichla Regel Menashuk. Rav Yaakov says not Seisek Echolim, but rather after people have stopped walking around in the marketplace. We know that expression famously in connection with Hanukkah, the latest you can light the menorah. So here it's a similar thing. Rav Yaakov says when people have stopped walking around in the marketplace, then it's considered too late. So that would be half an hour. That would be half an hour after the previous time, which is why we have the concept of the menorah has to be the minimum amount that the candles in the menorah has to burn is a minimum of half an hour because of that, because they should burn. You should light them before Tzeisik Echavim, or on minhag, we do it between Shkia and Tzeisik Echavim, and they should burn for at least half an hour. So therefore, Sir Rav Yaakov is making the time, the latest time, to wear tefillin a half hour later than the Tana Kama. The Chum, I mean the Chum even more makel. The Chum, I mean the Chum say, ad zman shena, you're allowed to keep them on until it's time to go to sleep. Now we don't want him to have it on after that time, because then there's the concern that he might fall asleep in them, and as the Gemara is going to say, soon, you're not allowed to sleep in tefillin. There are Rishonim that read learns that it means that actually Zman Shena would mean when the person himself is planning to go to sleep, but from Tosfos it comes out it's not that. It means the time when people are typically going to sleep. So then the Chachamim are saying you can keep them on until that point. The Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Yaakov. Or on the side here it says V'Rab Yaakov. The Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov do both agree. Shem Cholzim Lotzis Lebeis HaKisei or Lekonis Lebeis HaMerchatz. If a person took off his tefillin in order to go to the bathroom or in order to go to the bathhouse, and the Shokachama and the sunset Shuvan Echozer Manichon, then he definitely doesn't put him on again. Because at that point, Lila loves man tefillin, who nighttime is not a valid time to wear tefillin. So if he had them on before, then we can talk about how late, how far into the night is he allowed to have them on. According to Rav Yaakov, only until Shkia, only until Rabbi Natan's Shkia, according to the Tana Kama, only until Rabbi Natan's Shkia, according to Rav Yaakov, half an hour later, and according to the Chacham, even later. But like this, where he had to take them off to go to the bathroom or the bathhouse, then he can't be putting them on again in the evening. So Rashi explains that all of them agree, but on the premise that Lila loves man tefillin, who that nighttime is not a valid time to be mekayim in the mitzvah of tefillin, and therefore you can't be putting them on at that point. On the other hand, Tosfos and the Rosh and various other Rishonim say that no, Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim at least do hold that Lila is Zman Tefillin, that nighttime is a valid time to wear tefillin, but the Chachamim are telling him to take them off, because he might fall asleep in them, and while he's asleep, he might pass gas. This machloikus over here about Lila Zman Tefillin or Lav Zman Tefillin, the Gemara is now going to go on as we go on Omid Beis. Now we're going to point out that this machloikus Tanoim on that. So it comes out that Rashi and Tosfos are basically arguing which Tana the following part of the Gemara is going to go according to. And with which Tana, the Tanoim that we mentioned so far, hold according to whether they hold Lila Zman Tefillin or Lav Zman Tefillin. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha K'Rav Yaakov. Rav Nachman says, the Halacha is like Rav Yaakov, so therefore you don't have to take off Tefillin until Ad Shtichla Regel Menashuk, until people have stopped walking around in the marketplace. And the Gemara continues. In fact, Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Avuna Machzul Bo'uba Urta. Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Avuna would daven Ma'ariv while they're wearing tefillin. So we see also they would follow Rav Yaakov because you can't daven Ma'ariv until after. And then you can't daven Ma'ariv until after that time. So if they're davening Ma'ariv, then you can't daven Ma'ariv. That is until after Shkia, as we called it, would have been a Tam's Shkia. So then, or at least you're not supposed to. Rashi does mention in Brachas that people would often daven Ma'ariv earlier in the Velt. They often do that. But nevertheless, the better time is to daven Ma'ariv in the proper time. And we see that Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Avuna would be wearing tefillin at that time, showing that they also hold like Rav Yaakov. Ikadamri, however, a different version is Einhab, that Rav Nachman says Ein Halacha for Rav Yaakov. The second version, though, is that Rav Nachman says the Halacha is not like Rav Yaakov. Which would mean, in other words, the halacha is, which would mean that the halacha is like the Tanna Kamma. Tosfos points out that he doesn't explicitly say that the halacha is like the, he doesn't say the halacha, he means the halacha is like the Tanna Kamma, but he doesn't say it explicitly, but there's no, he doesn't say so explicitly. The reason is because there's no name attached to it. So therefore, you can't say the halacha is like the Tanna Kamma, because that doesn't really flow. Instead, he says the halacha is not like Rav Yaakov, and we understand it's not like Rav Yaakov, it's certainly not like the Chachamim. So according to the second version, Rav Nachman says the latest thing we can wear tefillin is in fact Shia, however we define Shia. So the question is, well, according to the second version, we see that Rav Chista and Rav Bar Avuna were davening Ma'ariv wearing tefillin. Of necessity, they're arguing. In the second version, they're arguing with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says the halacha is not like Rav Yaakov. They would hold the halacha is like Rav Yaakov, and therefore they hold you could still wear tefillin at that time. However, the Gemara asked him, "Me Omer Rabbi Bar Avuna Hachi? Did Rabbi Bar Avuna really say that? But Omer Rabbi Bar Avuna Sofek Chashecha Sofek LeChashecha. When you have a Sofek, whether it's nightfall or not, meaning between Shkia and Seis during Bein Hashemashes, Loi Cholitz, you don't have to take off tefillin if you were wearing them already. V'Loi Maniach, but you can't put them on to begin with." So Ha Vade Chashecha, which seems to imply once it's definitely nightfall, Cholitz, then you actually have to take them off, even if you had been wearing them all this time. So that would be according to the Tanna Kamma. So we see that they do hold like the Tanna Kamma, not like Rav Yaakov. Well, then why are they still wearing tefillin for Ma'ariv? And the answer is Chosam be'erev Shabbos Yitmar. The answer is because that statement that when it's Sofek Chashecha, Sofek Chashecha, is not talking during the week. That's talking about when it's Friday evening. So then, on Shabbos you don't wear tefillin. So therefore you have to take them off once it's Sofek Shabbos, once it's Bein Hashemashes, and you don't know whether Shabbos has begun yet. Then you have to take off the tefillin. But when it comes to the rest of the week where you don't have that issue, then they hold that you could wear them later, and therefore they would daven ma'ariv after Shia, and then they would daven ma'ariv wearing their tefillin because they held that you're still allowed to wear them at that point. Okay, well, we're going to ask Mike Kosover. Okay, but what do they hold? Rabbi Bar Avuna, when he says that when it's a suffix, when it's Bein HaShemashos, you can't put on the tefillin, but you don't have to take them off at that point, what does he hold as far as this matter of when is the proper time for tefillin? E Kosover Lila's man tefillin, if he holds that nighttime is a valid time to wear tefillin, then Shabbos Nami's man tefillin, then he would have to hold that Shabbos is also a valid time to wear tefillin. Because as the Gemara is going to explain, we learn the concept, whether we learn that it's nighttime or whether we learn that it's Shabbos, we learn from the same pasuk. So therefore, he have to be consistent. If he holds that you can wear them at night, then he should hold that you can wear them on Shabbos. Tosfos discusses over here that maybe what it is now the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos does say, the Gemara does say over there, you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing tefillin. Because what happens, for example, if the strap breaks and you're not going to leave your tefillin in the street, you're going to carry them on Shabbos. So that would mean that's a different reason. Maybe that's a different reason to take off the tefillin in case he goes out with them into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and in case they break. So Tosfos discusses that maybe not necessarily you would in fact be allowed to wear them in the chotzer. You just can't wear them in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And Tosfos goes and discusses various ins and outs of that point, whether such a thing would be allowed. On the other hand, there are the Rishonim who learn that it means you wouldn't be allowed to wear tefillin even in a chaser on Shabbos, even if we were to say that nighttime is considered as that Shabbos, even if we were to say that Shabbos is considered zman tefillin, nevertheless we would say that you still can't wear them even in a chaser unless it has an eruv, and if it has an eruv, of course then you can carry whatever you want over there. So you have different understandings. There are different understandings of whether such a thing would be allowed or not. Actually the other way around. The Rambam and some other Rishonim hold that you would actually be allowed to wear tefillin in the house. You just can't walk and even into a chotzer that doesn't have an eruv. But you can also wear them in a chotzer that has an eruv, just not in a chotzer that doesn't have an eruv. Whereas Tosfos is saying over here that you would be also even inside the house. In any case. But again, going back to the Gemara, so the question is, what is the halacha as far as when you wear tefillin and when you don't? If Rabbi Bar Avuna holds that you should wear tefillin at night, and therefore he says during the weeknights you don't have to take them off when it comes Shia, then Shabbos is also considered a valid time for tefillin. The Ikasara Shabbos loves man tefillin, and if he holds Shabbos is not a valid time for tefillin, that, and therefore he says Friday nights you'd have to take them off before Shia, why a lot Nami loves man tefillin? Well, then the nighttime is also not a valid time for tefillin, and then he should require you to take it off at night, and then he should be required to take it off at night as well. So this gets into the discussion before of whether the three way machlokas that we had on Amaralos, the Tanakama, of Yaakov, and the Chachamim, whether they're holding that nighttime is a valid time for tefillin or not, where again, Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim held that they do agree that nighttime is a valid time for tefillin. They're only saying that you need to take them off by a certain point, because you might fall asleep in them, whereas according to Rashi's understanding, they were all holding that nighttime is not as man tefillin. So Rabbi Bar Avuna seems to be inconsistent. And after all, the reason why it seems that he should be consistent, the mehech the mamata Shabbos mehasim amati leilas, because the same source from which we say that Shabbos is not the time for tefillin is the same source from which we say to not wear them at night. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says that the Pasuk tells us the mitzvah of putting on tefillin, and then it says the shamarta as a chukah azois, you should observe this law, Lamoyada, in its time, mi yomim yamima, from yomim to yomim. Now the word yomim yamima can be taken to be by the daytimes, during the daytimes. So, yomim v'loy leilas. So then, Rabbi Yosef really says that means after day and not night, because it says mi yomim, and mi yomim v'loy kol yomim, and the word mi yomim from the days means not all the days. There's an exception. So that comes to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's how Rabbi Yosef really learns from that pasuk that when it says Miyom and Yamima is referring to tefillin, and it's saying that you wear them only by day and not even all the days. You wear them only on some days, not Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says, Loi nema chukazu elo lepesach bilvad. No, when the pasuk says v'shamarta as a chukazos, it's not referring to tefillin at all. It's referring to the psukim where it was talking about the mitzvah of keeping the Pesach, of observing Pesach and bringing a korban Pesach. And the yom yamima means from year to year. It doesn't mean from day to day. So we see Rabbi Yisrael really is saying both of them are excluded from the words miyom yamima, and Rabbi Akiva is not. So then why is Rabbi Bar Avuna saying during the week it's fine if you keep on tefillin past the time, even during Vein HaShemoshes, when it's Sopif, when it's night. But during the night, but on Friday night, you have to take them off before Shia. What's the logic? The answer is Nachkele Mehecha de Nachkele de Rabbi Akiva. The answer is Rabbi Bar Avuna does hold that there's a difference between nighttime and Shabbos. He learns the fact that he learns that distinction from the same place where Rabbi Akiva learns it. The Tanya, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Yochol Yaniach Adam Tefillin B'Shabbosos Yom Tovim. You would think a person should have to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. No, Tamar Boima. The pasuk says V'Hoyal Oisal Yodcha Ol Teitofes Veinenecha. The tefillin should be for a sign on your arm and for Teitofes between your eyes. From which we learn Mishat Tzrichim Ois. When do you wear tefillin? At a time when you need a sign of a visible sign that we're observing Hashem's Torah. So Mishat Tzrichim Ois only when such a sign is needed. Yotzu Shabbos is Yom Tovim, as opposed to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Saying different Ois, your Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves are a sign. The Ois Bein Yuveinechem, Hashem says about Shabbos that it is a sign between me and you, and therefore we don't need tefillin at that time. So that's as far as Shabbos. The Ritva elsewhere explains that the other Yom Tovim are included in Shabbos as well. They're all called Shabbos. So we say Shabbos and Yom Tov are each an ois, and therefore you don't wear tefillin on them. Tosfos mentions the discussion over here of the famous discussion: do you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Chol HaMoed, after all, is part of the Yom Tov, but it's not fully part of the Yom Tov because you're allowed to do certain malach on it. So would we wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, or is that also considered an ois? So Tosfos concludes Tosfos concludes on the basis of various other Gemaras that you should. On the other hand, many other Rishonim learn differently. The Zohar also particularly says you should not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. In fact, it says somebody who does is Chayav Nisa, and based on that, the minhag developed among Hasidim to not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. To this very day, you have a difference in that regard, where Sfardim and Hasidim don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and the rest of the Ashkenazim do. Even those who do, don't make a bracha on them because of the suffix, whether you should or not. But you do have that difference in minhagim. This is one of the cases, by the way, you have the mitzvah and the Torah, loisus goydidu. You're not allowed to make different groups in that are doing halacha differently. So most of the time, it's not an issue, because the Gemara elsewhere explains that's only when you have like two bate jinim in one city that are contradicting one another in matters of halacha, and then you have a problem. So most of the time, we don't have that issue. Different kehillas, different shuls have different minhagim. But this kind of thing, when it comes to tefillin on Chol HaMoed, is one real life example of that. You have to be careful. There shouldn't be one shul where some people are putting on tefillin and others not, because that would be a violation of loitzus goydim. Okay. So the point is, in other words, that Rav Bar Avuna can well say, so Rav Akiva is only learning that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov because Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves are an ois. But he doesn't have a source to say that you don't wear tefillin at night, and therefore, Rav Bar Avuna can hold a horn to Rav Akiva. So by night, intrinsically, there's not necessarily a problem wearing them, and the only reason would be, again, because you might fall asleep in them. So therefore, if you had them on, then you can keep them on until a later hour, like the different opinions that we had before. Whereas when it comes to Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva has a pasuk to tell us that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, and Rabbi Bar Avuna agrees with that. Therefore he says on Friday evening you would have to take off the tefillin before Shkia. And we've shown him discuss how Rashi would hold, where we said again on Amud Aleph that Rashi holds that Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim and their machlokas hold that nighttime is not a valid time for tefillin. So because you'd have different opinions of Amoraim on the subject. Tosfos points out that the Gemara elsewhere tells us in Brachos and in Nida that the people in Eretz Yisrael, not only they held you have to take off tefillin before nightfall, like we're saying over here, but they would actually make a bracha on doing so. They'd make a bracha lishmer chukav, that Hashem commanded us to observe His chuk. However, Tosfos says the halacha is not like that. We don't actually say that bracha because we're saying that you are supposed to take off your tefillin. But the fact is, as Moshe is going to go on to explain, nighttime technically is a time for wearing tefillin. It's the law of Ein Moed and Kain. We don't actually pass him to somebody who comes and asks to do that. We'll tell him to take off the tefillin before Shkia. So we can't really say that we're making a mitzvah by taking them off. Therefore, we don't say the bracha lishma fukav. With that said, it's brought that when we have the part Shemishma that we ask Hashem Yiratzim Lefanecha Shemishma Chokecha Ba'olam Hazeh, so that's a hint to that bracha, to that old bracha Lishma Chokav. And in fact, people who notice the Rebbe during davening would notice that the Rebbe touches tefillin during that time, as if, like again we said before, touching them is like symbolically putting them on, or in this case taking them off. So in other words, the idea is like symbolically at that point we're saying we would take off the tefillin and make the bracha at that point, and therefore we touch the tefillin. This that we're saying, that Shabbos and Yom Tov are an ois, there's a famous idea brought on that what it is a Yid has to have with him always two witnesses of his connection to Hashem. So we always have Bris Milah with us. Bris Milah is also called an ois. So that we have with us 24/7. Now we have, during the weekdays, we have tefillin, and then on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have Shabbos and Yom Tov, which are the second ois instead. So therefore, that's the reason not to wear them on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because then you would be saying that the ois of Shabbos or of Yom Tov is not important. The Gemara goes on in this connection. Omer Abulazar calling a miach tefillin after shkia sachama over be'esef. A person puts on tefillin after shkia, then he's violating a mitzvah saseh. Because we just said before that one way of understanding according to Rabbi Yosef Aguli, at least, is that when the Torah says to wear tefillin, and it says miyamim yamima, that miyamim yamima according to Rabbi Yosef Aguli referred to tefillin. So then, in other words, if you're wearing them at night, then you're being over on the, so implicitly in that assay is such as a mitzvah to wear tefillin by day. Implicitly, there's a mitzvah don't wear them by night. And if he puts them on by night, then he's over on that assay. Rishonim point out, Tosfos elsewhere, and the Rosh points out that would only be a point of Yosef Aguri, we'd say he'd be over on Esther, according to Rabbi Akiva, no. Rabbi Yochanan Amar over the lav. Rabbi Yochanan says he's over on a lav because the pasuk says v'shamauto, you shouldn't guard it. And when it, and as the Gemara is going to point out, when it says v'shamauto, it implies a lav. So the Gemara says lema v'dum oven amar of ila komifrigi. Does that mean that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing regarding what Rabbi Oven said in the name of Rabbi Ila? The amar of oven amar of ila komakim shenema. He's shomer whenever the Torah says guard not to do something. For example, he's shomer b'negat saras. Be guard the negat saras, and meaning in other words, don't cut off simonim of saras. Or when it says pen lest. For example, Rashi says that you have Yishama l'cha pen tichris bris, be careful lest you make a covenant with the nations in Eretz Yisrael, or the al, or where the Torah tells us al, don't, all of those, ein el loisese. So all of those constitute a loisese. So maybe the machlokes is ma'u yisrei d'rav Avin or ma'u lester d'rav Avin. So it sounds like Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Avin. Therefore, when it says b'shamarta as a chukazos, then it constitutes a loisaseh. Whereas Rav Elazar would disagree and say b'shamarta doesn't make a loisaseh just an essay. So the Gemara says no. Loi b'kula alma yisrei d'rav Avin amar Rav Elazar. Everybody, both Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, may agree with that meaning. V'hocha v'hocha mifuk. Rabbi Elazar will say the word he shomer doesn't mean a lav, but only when it's in connection with a lav, where the Torah is telling you don't do something, and it says he shomer. For example, it says he shomer b'negat saras, then that means, in other words, don't cut off simonim of saras. But he shomer de esse. When it says he shomer in connection with a mitzvah saseh, then it just means it's a mitzvah saseh. So therefore, according to him, since the Torah is just telling you to put on tefillin miyamim yamima, from day to day, meaning implicitly and not at night, therefore when it says v'shamarta implies only a mitzvah saseh, says Rebbe Elazar. Umar Shavu, whereas Rebbe Yechon holds, he's shomer de esse nami lav, when it says he's shomer, and even in connection with an esse, also constitutes a lav, and therefore according to him, if you were to wear tefillin at night, then you're over on a lav. Okay. However, the Gemara says, "V'omer Rabbi Elazar." However, Rabbi Elazar says, "Im v'shomron muter." But if he's wearing them at night in order to guard them, because in other words, he's concerned if he puts them in a pouch or whatever, they may get lost or they may get damaged or whatever. So he's putting them on. So then he's putting them on at night in order to guard them, muter. Then such a thing would be allowed even at night. So that's what Rashi explains that way. Shitimukh Rebetzus asks on that, wait a minute, if he just says an Issa Jaraisa, then how are we allowing it in order for him to keep the trillin safe? So the Shitimukh Rebetzus explains that it means only if he was already wearing them, then we'll allow him to keep them on them, past the time, in order to guard them. But if he can't put them on to begin with at night, in order for that purpose, because again, we're saying he'd be over on an Esther or Loises. So the Gemara says, "V'omer Ravina, have you seen the Kamei Rav Ashi?" One time says Ravina, I was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Ashi, v'choshak, and it was dark. He niach tefillin, and he put on his tefillin. Now, if you also you have the difference of gusos, whether he actually put, according to Rashi, that would be the gusay. He actually put them on because Rashi is holding that when he needs to do it in order to guard them, and he's even allowed to put them on machatzilah at night. The Shittim Kubetzes and various Rishonim who hold that you're not allowed to, the Rif has a gusay, rather, the Lois Solik tefillin. He didn't take off his tefillin, even though it was night for him. Because again, according to that Shitta, you're allowed to keep them on if you were wearing them with the Odeon, and you're allowed to put them on at night. But Amulei, and so Ravina says, I said to Ravashi, L'shomron kaboy l'humar, Rebbe, are you doing it in order to guard them, because otherwise they won't be safe? V'omali ein, and he said, yes, that's why. V'chazite l'dayte d'lav l'shomron hu d'boy. However, Ravina says, I realized, maybe by looking at his face, maybe whatever, I realized it wasn't really so, he was just using an excuse. Really, it's because he holds that Lila is, that nighttime is as man tefillin, and therefore that you would even be allowed to put them on, at night. So again, you have the different gear stories over here of whether he actually put them on or whether he left them on. So rather the gear would be that he kept them on and because now there's two possibilities. It could be that he does hold nighttime as man's feeling, or in fact he's doing it during the shrine run. So he used the excuse that it's the shrine run, but Ravina says I can realize the real reason was because he could in fact wear to them at night. However, I realize that Ravashi holds halacha in Murin Kain. The halacha is you could in principle wear to them at night, but you should not teach this to the rabbi. Because people may forget then and go to sleep with tefillin, and then they'll end up passing gas in men. So therefore Rav Ashi can be putting on tefillin even at night, according to Rashi, or leaving them on according to Shitah Kabbetas, because technically there's no issur in it. He disagrees with what we said, that he's over on an esser, is over on a lav. But he says that nevertheless, even though that is the halacha, ain modin kain, we should not teach that to people so they don't mistakenly wear them at night and fall asleep in them at night. But therefore, also, if you have to guard them, then you have more of a heter to wear them at night. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, a person has to constantly, every so often, whenever he remembers them, touch his tefillin. The kavachomer, and we can learn a kavachomer, and over the other thing, he has to have his mind on the tefillin all the time. And we can make a kavachomer to show that. It sits from the sits of the coin rods. The tzitz has only one name of Hashem in it, because it's Kodesh Hashem. Omra Torah v'hoyah mitzvah tamid. And yet the pasuk says that it should be constantly on his forehead. Now it doesn't mean constantly. The Kohen Gadol is not wearing Bigdei Kohuna all the time, but it means as long as he's wearing it, shalot tasiach daitim imenu, he couldn't be distracted from it. In other words, so first of all, sometimes he takes it off, but or sometimes when he wants to go to sleep, when he's going to the bathroom, he's not going to be wearing it. So therefore, it means as long as it's on his head, he should not be masiach das. So, then we can make a kavachomer. Tefillin, sheyesh ben azkores harabit. Tefillin have many names of Hashem in them. The Rambam points out that you have 21 names of Hashem in the Shoyad and 21 in the Shorosh. So, Allah is kamar kamar, how much more so that you cannot be Masiyah Das when you're wearing them. So, based on this, you should be mamashmith them the whole shot. You should be touching them, and you should be touching them every so often in order to keep your mind on them. So, we have a number of places in davening where we do that. Shitibu Kabesis points out that, wait a minute, then how are you supposed to be able to have kavana in davening? How are you going to be able to say Shema and Shema Esther if you have to have your mind on the tefillin? So, the Shitibu Kabesis gives an answer that you could, look, you know, Oisik the mitzvah, Potem and a mitzvah. So when it comes to the time of the mitzvah of Shema, or the mitzvah of davening, then you're allowed to not think about the tefillin and then focus on what you're saying in davening. And then there's a different answer. Rabbeinu Yonah gives an answer, which is then brought in the Turim, which is then brought in the Magen Avraham, which is that when we say the Inalad Hesach Hadas, doesn't mean not to think about them. It means to have callous rush, to be frivolous, to be light-headed. That kind of thing you're not allowed to do in tefillin. In fact, you have the halacha. The halacha is the Gemara tells us elsewhere. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah, in theory, in principle, a person would be allowed to take a very short nap in tefillin. The Gemara says that only the maximum is the time it takes to walk 100 amos, which is approximately 50 seconds. So you're allowed to take a shorter nap than that in tefillin. The question is, what happened to Hesach Hadas? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains that's not a problem because that's not Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas would mean being lightheaded and being in a joking mood or whatever. That you're in frivolous. That you're not allowed to do in tefillin. But a short nap, brief nap like that, you would be allowed. And the same thing. And Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, there's no kavos rosh. So therefore, it would be fine. And then the Shagas Aryeh has a different explanation. The Shagas Aryeh explains when it's a big break, then that's a problem. That's called Hesach Hadas. A tiny little break is not a problem of Hesach Hadas. So therefore, that neatly explains the nap, the short nap in Masechta Sukkah, less than 50 seconds, is not significant enough to be considered a Hesach Hadas. Well, then that answers the Shittim Kubetz's question as well. The time it takes, the Shei Shema and Shema Esrei, is relatively speaking short enough that wouldn't be considered a Hesach Hadas either. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll continue talking about more dinim of tefillin, where exactly we place them, and talk about tefillin, and then finish off with the dinim of tefillin, and then we're going to start talking about dinim involving tzitzis, Beis Hashem.